From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
The Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show. We're going to talk levels of fans on this episode. Going back to the roots, going vintage, talking sports, fan level stuff. It's been a minute since we've done one of these, man. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes could be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. For the millennials, here's the thing, man. First and foremost, everybody out there, please stay safe, keep your distance, use common sense, protect yourselves, protect you and your loved ones and your family. We know that we're going through some dire times around the world, losing loved ones, losing people unexpectedly. So with all that said, because of everything's changed in society, people are going through some hardships, and this is beyond the world of sports, protect yourselves. You have got to protect yourselves, man. So first, and the faster you protect yourselves, as far as keeping your distance, staying away from public crowds, and making sure your body is self-immuning away from society, the faster we can get back to society and to the normal life of things in 2020. Because the faster we all do our part, the faster we get back to business, man. And I think everybody wants that, to get back to their daily routines, their occupations, their businesses, and, of course, sports. So definitely protect yourselves, man. That's the message from myself, Steve, man. So levels of fan, man. It's been a minute because, we've done, if you go back, old school, audio archive episodes, let's say the beginning of the Bleed Blue Show, when we talked social media fan, diehard fan, bandwagon fan, we talked all these different types of fans, levels of fans. I mean, a lot of that still has not changed from my perspective, but there's a little bit different element to the fan, sports fan in 2020. 2020, I think there's a new dynamic every day on how you shape and how you look at the outlook of fan. And me personally, I'm trying to be objective to that. When I say that, I'm looking at things from an angle of fantasy sports, gambling, things like that. I mean, those have been somewhat fans, but they have incentives behind their fanship monetarialized. So when I look at levels of fan, it's not just if you're a middle generational type of fan like myself, a lot of the people on this platform who probably picked or select a team from a young age and they stick by their team for at least three, four decades, multiple sports. You have a certain mindset, but these younger fans, now, not to knock them because it's always a new day, a new era, and how to look at perspective and things. The new fan today, there's a lot of them. Maybe it's just following the players, the fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy hockey, fantasy baseball, fantasy way of looking at sports, looking at the fans. Coming through the eye of, should I root for the player or should I follow the team? Can I do both? The rules kind of have changed all in all. To say who's the real, who's pretend, does it make sense? It's valid. It's always your own opinion, and that's the best thing about sports and life is you could choose how you want to roll, man. You know, you can fight as long as it's within the realms of legality to do and pick and choose how you ever want to when it comes to level of fans. We talked about diehard, hardcore fans in the past on this platform. Let me say it like this, man. When it comes to that, when it comes to the diehard fan, I always believe. And I said this before, and it's kind of like going back to a refresher. It's almost like I'm sort of an adjunct professor when it comes to fanship, because I really believe this stuff, man. I really, that's my passion. Everybody who knows that when they follow the Bleed Blue Show, they follow, at these sporting events, like, that's my thing, man. Like, I know fans, The thing about of the fans and repping what they do and how they protect it as far as Die Hard. See, I can't put myself in that category as far as Die Hard. And I said that years ago on this platform. I believe that that is reserved, highly reserved for fans who've earned their keeps as far as putting their resources on backing the team financially. Those are mainly your season ticket holder fans. Those diehard fans, especially in my one golden rule, especially with the diehard fan, I always believe this. You kind of heard Av said it at the tail end of the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum episode last week, and I disagree with him still to this day. And I'm honored that fellow fans would look or view me in the diehard light. I do have diehard tendencies. Don't get me twisted. Don't get it twisted. I do have diehard tendencies. But diehard fan? No, I'm not. I'm not a diehard fan. But diehard fans, to me, are on a whole nother level. It's the season. To me, it's the season ticket holder fan. You have the actual diehard fan. You know, it's like 1A, 1B type stuff. Then you have your loyal fans, like somebody like myself. You could put me in that class of loyal fan. But there's other aspects, like this younger fan generation with when it comes to fantasy sports. Follow the player, not the team. I even thought about this, and I'm going to get Av's thoughts on this too, man. This is unique because nobody really brings this up. What if you're a fan on the style of play? Because that's the way you were, persona wise. For instance, if you're a system guy, you don't like guys who are in the, if we're looking at the NBA basketball, are you a type of fan that loves robotic systems like the San Antonio Spurs? Are you a fan that follows the system, team chemistry, team ball versus, there's other teams that does the one-on-one thing? I mean, that is a real discussion because some people are like in football, they love defense. They don't care for offense. They rather root for a team that's all about with the best defense and they'll go with that. Or even the NBA or baseball, like a baseball team that hits none but home runs. Like you're just a homer fan, a home run fan. Over, I'm picking a certain team like the Angels or a certain player like, let's say, like Bryce Harper from the Washington Nationals and now Philadelphia Phillies. Avenue, what's going on, bro? I mean, we are, this is dire times. I hope you and your family is safe. We revisited all the past episodes in kind of one big swoop of a summary. We could revisit it tonight because there's no sports. Might as well get back to things on how we do. Diehard fans, people you hate. But I also got some new level of fans that I would love to bring to your attention, bro. How's everything, man?
What's going on, Steve? First and foremost, I like to send prayers to my to everybody out there. Everybody who's struggling with this pandemic. Most especially, I'm asking for prayers myself. My grandma, she just entered the hospital. Had difficulty breathing. Hopefully, she gets back soon. And nothing, she's not part of this COVID pandemic as well. But Steve, I was listening to you. I was listening to you about about you not being a diehard fan. This is how I define the diehard fan, because the great point of the season ticket holder, the person that would, and when we touched on it last week, the person that would, if he has $20 on left in his pocket, and it's a matter of whether he eats tonight or whether he goes to the to the Knick game or something, he would choose the Knick game. I think that's psychotic. That's first and foremost. But I believe I kind of put you into that diehard diehard category, because if you look at it from this point,
I might eat my food and go watch it on TV though. You know what I'm saying?
I would too. I would order a pizza. The 2 for $10. Probably a Little Caesars, and then I'm good. The amount of involvement that you personally have, with sports, you travel to the, you make it a personal duty every year to go to tailgates, to go to watch our Knicks in different arenas, for Charlotte, Atlanta.
Oh, that's fun. That's, That's fun.
And you do that. You make it a person. See, sports basically, you know, you revolve your whole year on sports. And, you know, you go travel, you go tailgating, you know, you make sure you set money aside for, you know, for the new merchandise when it comes out, because, you know, you're always right there on, you know, in style. If a new jersey drops, you got it. If a new t-shirt, new hat got it, you got it.
Can I interject real quick? Not to cut you off.
Sure. Sorry.
I got to throw a little caveat in there. I'm not just sports, but I'll give you that. I am Front Street more on sports, but I have been over the last couple of years involved with a lot of music festivals as well. Now, I may not broadcast that as much because that's more of a personal with the family and friends and that music arena, like live, you know, live jazz festivals, things like that around the world. I've started to do that a little bit more, but go ahead, man. I want to continue your point. That's just to disprove the point of Die Hard, man, because I don't do just sports, but I get what you're saying because I do that a lot. But yeah, go ahead, fire away, man.
Right, and see, some people, I would consider them a diehard fan because, you know, it's in their blood. I've always been someone who preaches that, you know, loyalty and your fandom doesn't have a price tag. So if you happen to be fortunate enough to be, you know, a season ticket holder of, say, the Knicks, the Yankees, or any team across the country, you know, there's some people who are diehard Padre fans and, you know, still in San Diego and you know, places like that, then by all means, then you are diehard. Yeah, you are. If you know, I don't believe that you can put a price tag on loyalty, because if your mood personally is affected when your team loses, if your whole summer is based on, you know, for people in LA and the LeBron fans around the world, if your mood is based on LeBron winning the NBA finals and then when he doesn't is totally affected by it, then I think I would consider you a diehard. But I understand, okay, your point. I feel I'm a diehard to a certain degree. I'm not the psychotic. Mm-hmm. I'm not a season ticket holder. I don't think about, you know, spending that kind of Spike Lee money, you know, to go see the Knicks or the Yankees. You know, I might catch, you know, two games a year. On a sport, you know, bring the family, have a good time, go to the stadium and whatnot. And I'll follow the team closely. I'll even go as far as that when those West Coast trips happen. And Steve, you and I have been on those where, you know, we'll do a post game right after a game that ends around 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'll sit here and hash it out. So that's why I think that, like, you know, a lot of our stakeholders are diehards at heart. Now, you're going by the pure characteristic, and, you know, sometimes I agree with it, sometimes I don't. Again, because I don't believe that you can put a monetary value on your fandom. If you love this team, you're staying loyal to that team, you're sticking through the team, and you hate everything that's not your team, then you're a diehard. Those that you mentioned earlier, the fantasy football fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, the one that just follows
that. Yeah,
the player or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those,
what's your thoughts on that, man?
I've never respected.
I got to guess.
And I still don't.
Oh, okay. Can I play devil's advocate, man? Let me defend him a little bit, because you have fans older than us, our age bracket, you know, in their maybe 60s, 70s, and they've cheered and watched sports a different way, right? Then you got our generation of fans kind of follow the lead of the older generation. You know, you pick one team, one sport, you follow them through thick and thin. Maybe it's this new era of generation that looks at watching sports differently, i.e. the fantasy sports way of thinking, of maybe because, I could watch the entire sport and not just watch one team in particular. I mean, is that fair to say, as far as, okay, they may not be fans of the teams like we are, but because they follow sports, because they have to follow sports if you're going to win a fantasy league. You can't just – I mean, you could always blind pick a fantasy team, but if you're really trying to capitalize and maybe and a lot of people do. I mean, it's big business, man. Objectively say fans that follow an entire sport but, you know, follow players because maybe they have a rooting interest. Is that fair to say that? Are they not fans as well or no?
Well, they're fans, but they're kind of like, you know, that generational thing, you know, this millennial idea thing. I've never had a, you know, a deep root. I never had a respect for those kind of fans when they didn't, you know, I think I had one, a supervisor in my last job who, you know, who told me he's a LeBron fan. And he said it specifically, he's a LeBron James
right.
fan. So he was a Cleveland Cavaliers fan for one, you know, for a few years. Then he went to Miami. Then he went back to Cleveland. And now he's a Laker fan, and that to me is kind of like, okay,
but what
I understand
that?
It, like, but what, I never, and you know, but I'll never respect it.
Well, okay, fair enough. But what's the psychology of why they go that route? What are the reasons, in your opinion? I have mine, but I want to get yours. Why is
Well, frankly, if you just follow the player, then you're just then some. Then and a lot of times, especially when you're talking about superstar athletes, you know, the icons of the sport, the LeBron Jameses, the Mike Trouts, the you know maybe you're a Sidney Crosby fan, or maybe you know you're simply an Aaron Judge fan, or you know, or things of that sort. Those guys. Those kind of fans, I can't really, you know, look at you with the same amount of respect as I do somebody who is die hard to that team. Are they fans? Absolutely. Obviously, you know the sport and you like the player, and there are many people out there who just love the player, and no matter what they do, they're loyal to the player. But let's be realistic. We're talking about, you know, the big four sports, and those are team sports. So we've had superstars in the past that have never won that big, you know, that big championship. And so then, you know, the reason why so many people are, you know, are almost, you know, that fantasy or that player fan is almost to the same thing as is almost equivalent to the bandwagon fan who only goes with a team that's winning. And that's something that that's the reason why, like someone like me, who's, you know, who's a little bit more old school, you know,
right.
can't respect you in terms of fandom. You know, as a person, of course, but you know, as a fan, I'm looking at you like, you're just here for the ride. You're here for that feel good moment. You don't know,
right.
you know, the anguish of sometimes being a fan, especially, you know, here in New York City. You know, there are people who are diehard New York Met fans. You know that these teams that the team is kind of go into this, you know, shorthanded, you know, with some glimmer of hope, but they're still gonna go to the games, they're still gonna watch the games, they're still gonna root for their team. Same thing for us as Knicks fans. We know that the team is trash, but we still stick to them, and that's something. And when that team finally turns it around and has that one miracle season, where everything falls into place, and we finally, you know, reach the pinnacle of the sports world and winning the championship. Not only do the players themselves and the organization, you know, win, but the fans win, and that's something that's very, 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 you know, special and should be reserved to the people who are real diehard fans.
Yeah, I definitely understand why you're saying what you're saying, because we come from the same era of how you root for a particular team in a particular sport. I'm going to try to be objective. Now, I'm not saying this is a fact because this is just an opinion. Had I been born in, let's say, in the 2000s and the 21st century, there's probably a good chance I'm a bandwagon fan or I'm a fan or a fan of the player in a team sport, because that's just how it is, man. I think it's just the timing of when you were born, you were reared as a fan. Like, you had influences in your family who were a particular fan or team or whatever, and you just follow that lead, and which is fine and dandy, because I totally understand it. I understand exactly what you're saying. But had I probably been born maybe 25 years later, probably be in my early 20s by now, or whatever the number, the math is. And the thing is to root for particular players. See, I think the LeBron thing, I'll use LeBron as an example, because as you already know, when LeBron came onto the scene, we were young adults, right? So basically, he was probably the most promoted athlete in our generation coming out of high school. So. Mm-hmm. That's really influential. That's really inspiring. So this is where it comes to, and you know this, Av, really well. You've been in thousands of sports debates, whether it's on social media, groups, in the sports bars. It's really about, okay, those type of particular fans don't necessarily care for the team. They just want to see their generational athlete be the best and be considered, i.e. the GOAT, because what's always the comparison, LeBron versus Mike. See, we come from the era of Mike, even though he wasn't from our team. I respect Mike. I hated the fact that his teams always beat my teams in the 90s, but I have a profound respect for Mike, and I will go to my grave to this day, Av, that even though I'm a Knicks fan, I respect Mike. Mike's the best pro basketball player of all time. Now, I'm not saying basketball player all time. I'm just saying on an NBA level. So
he is the greatest NBA player of all time.
Seen this before.
No, there's no debate for that one. No matter how you want to freaking do that.
I'm just looking at the pro level. If you look at all three levels, I have a different name, but we'll throw that later. But for pros, if you're talking about marketing, branding, performance, two-way player, the guy did it all, man. Offense, defense, game winners. He had two dynasties. I mean, the guy did it all. So when you have the younger generation who are following LeBron, in my opinion, and this happens a lot, their man is LeBron. Their Jordan is LeBron, and they're finding ways to put holes into the Jordan argument because they didn't see Jordan day in, day out like we did. Like, they only could go off of, you know, highlights on the Sports Center or ESPN, maybe a few YouTube clips, but we lived through it, Av, and I know what I saw. And in my opinion, not to say LeBron isn't, because LeBron's still top five. In my opinion, he's just not Jordan. And I think a lot of that, I'm going to follow the player mantra, go against traditional team concepts, has a lot to do with that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, if we're debating the greatest of all time, you for the younger generation and for the younger listeners that are listening, we can, if you want to take the six rings, the 6-0 finals record out of the equation, go ahead.
You have to keep that. You got to keep that. That's part of the deal, though. You got to keep that.
Right. But you just have to look at the difference, the difference of the generations as well, because if you look at Mike and you see how the NBA was built in that time, there were because that was raised up at one point too, that the level of competition is in LeBron's favor and things of that sort. Every NBA team had their guy. Every NBA team had a perennial Hall of Famer, you know, going through this system and going through the woes and having to face Mike in some form or capacity in the playoffs, and had to figure a way to compete against him and his team. That Chicago Bulls teams, because they played in they played in their system, because they played in the divisions that they were playing, because those central divisions were not cakewalks. Neither was the Eastern Conference as it is. You compare that to what LeBron is doing, over his career. And look, LeBron James is top five in my book. He's definitely top five. Mm-hmm. You can throw him and Kobe, at 3 and 5 if you want, but he's not number one, and that's Michael Jordan's spot. If you don't understand the landscape of the NBA of that time compared to what it is now, I mean, yes, this is the era, we're still in the somewhat era of the super teams where guys are just, teaming up and just, monopolizing all the stardom on one side. that didn't exist back then. You know, Jordan had a and I mean, you just got to look at Jordan's killer instinct. Jordan is the kind of player that can will the entire determination of a game just by his presence alone. He doesn't I mean, if you remember 1992 game 6, it wasn't even Jordan that willed them back for 15 down. It's like, if you remember that, but it was his presence and the fact that he was there that you had to, you know, you had to pay so much more close attention to Michael Jordan that opened up the spots for everybody else. You don't do the same thing with LeBron. LeBron, you still play him one-on-one. Sometimes you'll show him a double team, but then you fall back. And if he beats you, he beats you. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But you always had that chance. Michael, if you gave him that chance, it's over. It's guaranteed. I mean, that's not saying that Michael's never missed a game winner, but when it's crunch time and the championship's on the line, it's over. It's fait accompli. So, you know, to go back to the fandom of that, the whole deal, I've always respected Michael Jordan. I hated his guts.
Right.
I hated his guts because he was that good. But, I mean, I'm sorry, but my generation witnessed the greatest player of all time, you know, performing at a high level 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, never swaying, never asking for, you know, for certain players from other teams to come play with him. He just wanted to keep the same team that he knew could win. That's the only thing that Mike has ever been guilty of, is making sure that Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Phil Jackson were all still in place, because that's the formula he knows that worked. When that formula was getting broken up, by management, Mike said, "Screw it, I'm done. I'm leaving on top." LeBron can't say that. LeBron has flipped the switch, and has left because his friends wanted to go elsewhere. It's happened twice. He's forcing management to trade for players. Come on now.
Hold on. That's a great point. I didn't think about it until you just kind of said it, about why we look at things differently as one group of sports fans from a different era versus those fans. See, those fans, a lot of the fans from the younger, I don't want to make it seem like they're bad, like those fans. No,
they're not.
The younger generation of fans, they don't see. I mean, I don't know, man. We can shit on them if we want, but I mean, I get what you're saying, but I'm trying to be objective, right? A lot of fans who are younger, they don't see a problem jumping team to team. I think a lot of fans in our generation, you stay, it's like kind of like we're loyal to our particular team. Those players stick to one team their entire career. Like, that was kind of almost the norm until the free agency period blew up in a lot of these sports, basketball, football. So,
look at it from this point, because it wasn't just the team. You were loyal to the city and to the fans and to the people. So back then, you know, when Jordan only stayed in Chicago until, you know, of course, he ended up coming back to Washington, but we don't really count that part of his career. You count the six Bulls dynasty years, and you see more guys back then were not just loyal to the organization, because of course business is business, but they were loyal to the fans that brought them to the dance, and that kind of loyalty in return, the fandom was astronomical as opposed to what it is today. Today it's wishy-washy, in my opinion. Back then it was concrete. Jordan was loyal to the city of Chicago, so the Chicago Bulls fans were loyal to him. And yes, he had fans all over the place. You know, you still had those player fans back then, but they weren't, you know, as omnipresent as they are today. Where kids, you know, you can go to Madison Square Garden today. Well, not today, obviously, for obvious reasons. But you can go to a game, at the Garden. You can watch two teams play, and then it'll be the Knicks and the Grizzlies or something, and you'll see a kid wearing a Steph Curry jersey, and he can't even tell you where the Golden State Warriors even play. That's something like, you're like, okay, what the hell? And I'm not talking about a kid, a 7-year-old kid. I'm not picking on a 7-year-old. I'm picking like the 16, 17-year-old who should have some level of knowledge of some sort, and he's a know-it-all, but he can't even tell you where the Golden State Warriors even play, what city they play for, what arena they play for, any of that stuff. You know, that's the kind of fan that I'm talking about when I'm talking about the, you know, the fair weather, you know, millennial generation, you know, stick to a player, not the team kind of situation.
Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of that too. Let's be fair though, you had a lot of that even back in the '90s, man, or even the '80s. You can go back to the '80s, man. I mean, don't get it twisted. I mean, Mike was loyal to the city of Chicago too. Their management kind of burnt bridges within that organization. But let's be real, man. There were a lot of Chicago Bulls fans in New York and Jersey and in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Massachusetts. I mean, there were bandwagon. You can call them bandwagon everywhere. I mean, even the Lakers, there were a lot of Laker fans all over the map. Never, you know, really fucked with L.A. Never gone to L.A. games. But they liked the appeal what the LA Lakers were bringing. So, to this day, you have Dallas Cowboys fans in the Northeast. It kills me to hear that. I mean, this is around the same area as Jordan, too. A lot of fans aren't as loyal to the city. I mean, I get it at the time with the Knicks because that's when it was really at its peak since the championship years in the 70s. But let's be real. I mean, there's still there's still several fans who still don't root for the local teams.
That makes sense. Because I mean, when I used to live in Philadelphia, and
right.
You would think that about 90%, you know, that about 90% of the population are all Eagles fans, and that was never the case. I mean, it was more of like a 70%, you know, Eagles, and then there's about 15% Dallas Cowboys, 5% New York Giants, and then the remaining 5% or so is everybody else. And I found that very odd, but if I sit you down and we have a debate and you tell me that, look, I've been following the team for God knows how long, you know, since I was 6 or 7, and I could tell you about, you know, certain things, then I'm like, okay, well, then I'm not looking at, you know, your local fandom. I'm looking at your fandom and how deep is that fandom to you. That's an issue. That's where I'm like, you know, where you can earn my personal respect as a true fan.
I get it. I mean, don't get it twisted, because what the Bulls were in the 90s is kind of what Golden State has been in the 2010s, almost, because a lot of people started coming out of the woodworks and becoming Golden State Warrior fans out of the blue. I mean, you could even find them this past season, because that's how bad they've been because of the injury. But they were kind of almost on that aspect where they were like the reincarnated, watered-down version of the Bulls as far as bandwagon fans, the Golden State Warriors. I mean, you can go any part of the country, you got everybody rocking Steph Curry jerseys, and like, what the hell is this shit? You know, like you have fans. That goes back to my point. I'm like, can you tell me who was on the starting lineup of the 75 Warriors championship teams? Can you tell me who run TMC is? Can you tell me who was the roster that upset the top ranked Dallas Mavericks that year? That was the eighth seeded Golden State Warriors. Who was on that team? Now, if you can't answer those questions, I mean, because in my opinion, Evan, I think this is where the respect comes in. If you're going to be a fan, you kind of at least have to do your research a little bit. Like, who came before the players you're rooting for? It doesn't matter. Like, they're just latching on. They don't care what happened prior. Because remember, Golden State was almost damn near a laughing stock since the last time they won in the 70s through the 80s. I mean, they had a nice couple of teams in the 90s. A little fun teams, but they weren't like doing anything.
Yeah, those Hardaway, Hardaway, Mullen,
Mitch Richmond,
Chris Webber days.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what I'm talking about.
It's like if I'm not even a fan of theirs, but I can tell you about certain players, you know, throughout my history, and tell you a little bit more, like I can tell you who Rick Barry is and things of that sort. Then that tells you that I'm a fan. You know, my loyalty will forever remain with the New York Knicks in terms of the NBA side. And you can ask me, I mean, we do Knicks trivia all the time, and how often than not do I get the question and I understand exactly, you know, who you're trying to tell me about. And, you know, that's why the banners are still here at Knickerbocker Ave here. And
Right.
It's stuff like this. If you're gonna, I mean, that's kind of like in the fan handbook, folks. You have to do some history. I mean, I understand that we live in a millennial age, but hell, we live in this millennial age where we have Google and Wikipedia, where you can just talk to it and it tell you anything you wanted to know. We have all this information, and all it takes for you to do is just to Google a couple of things here and there and watch a couple of YouTube clips and really get to understand the history of the team, the history of that team with that city, so on and so forth. And that's a big deal to old school fans, because we didn't have Google back then, but we still knew who Walt Frazier was in the 90s. That's crazy to me. I mean, some people, who never heard of him or never heard of Willis Reed and have no idea that he was walking on one leg and that he only scored 4 points in game 7 of the 70 finals. Some people can still tell you who they were and what they did and their significance in the history of that organization and that team. And that's true fandom, because you make it a personal, a personal mission to yourself as a fan to understand the history of, of the organization. I mean, if you come from an expansion team, when they first introduced the Toronto Raptors in our generation, and they introduced at the time the Vancouver Grizzlies, they were they're exempt, because all they can tell you is what they were allowed to see during that area, because back then regional games were at a premium depending on what channel they got, but.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can tell you, some real fans up there can tell you who Damon Stoudemire was, and no relation to Amari.
Right.
They know who Minnie Mouse was, and they can tell you guys when Greg Anthony fought Sean Bradley, or things of that sort. I mean, those things are important, and it's part of. It's part of your love and your loyalty, and that's where, because the whole point of fan is love.
Hold on, those things are important to fans like us. That's my point. I don't disagree with you. I agree with you as far as where we come from, but younger generation, they may not care for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they may not think that's important. Although to you and me. The history of studying up or who came and the players before us on a particular team, that definitely matters to guys like you and me. But if you're talking about younger generation, because think about it like this, like back in our day, back in the 80s, 90s, stuff like that, there was no social media. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of things are driven on how they interact with players today. Like, we never knew, players put their own personal workouts. You have level of detail today that fans gravitate to because of social media. Like, it's literally called, I'm going to follow you. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to follow that particular player. Like, if you use probably LeBron James is probably the most followed athlete on social media. I mean, that's a prime example of why they're more individual than team, Not to say, because of course there's teams on there with social media, but it's not like the following the individual player. I mean, they're all up in the business. I mean, that's not really my particular style. That's not really me, man. I'm not really trying to follow a grown man or even a grown woman all day, every day, where they do or where they go and where they post. But that was my whole entire point. Like, this generation of fan, we look at it different. And I think a lot of it has to do with, at the end of the day, the ultimate question is, my guy is better than your generation's guy. I mean, you can put it against any sport, whether hockey, basketball, football. I mean, we're just looking at the team sports. You could even probably put that in individual sports level too, golf. NASCAR driving, boxing, tennis, especially. Like, I mean, I'm not really big on individual sports as far as, like, I don't follow a particular individual athlete and that's my guy or gal, whoever it is, because I kind of look at individual sports more so like, who I think is going to win based off style of, if it's a boxing, I think this boxer could outdo this boxer based off knowing their particular styles, but I'm not necessarily a diehard fan of a particular individual athlete. But my whole point when I was saying about why the psyche of the new generation fan. They're kind of, because of the social media aspect, has a lot to do with it as well, where we didn't have that as well. What's your thoughts on that? Oh, we didn't have it back then.
Well,
we have it now, but we didn't have it back then.
Well, see, we didn't have that back then, but I can honestly tell you, you know, with absolute certainty that I was a Mike Tyson fan. I was a huge Tyson fan.
Everybody loved Mike.
I was a huge Mike Tyson fan, but it extended beyond that because I went to as such as that, you know, my dad would eventually trade boxing tapes with a lot of, you know, with a lot of his coworkers and friends. And I would make sure they say, did you get any Tyson fights from back in the day, from before? He's like, and I can't remember, I got so happy when he found the Junior Olympic tape, you know, when he competed and knocked that old boy in 7 seconds or something like that. That mm-hmm. kind of thing is, you know, that was my fandom back then. I mean, am I a fan of the guy now? Absolutely. Do I follow him? No. I'm not going to follow a demented 50-year-old something guy, you know, who's told people that I'm going to eat your children. I mean, it is what it is. But I've been, I can honestly say for individual sports, yeah, there are some, you know, there are icons in there and, you know, they have their following. And, you know, for some people who are more fair weather and don't follow specific sports, and I understand, you know, same as golf or tennis, like some people don't know who Andre Agassi or John McEnroe, whoever they were, or Martina Navratilova, unless you watch like the made for TV movie on HBO or something, or you look it up on YouTube or the History Channel or something to that degree. But, you know, that was my level of fandom. But you know, if you take the time now, I mean, we live in this time. And it's funny that you said it as boxing and not that thing, you know, that Roy Jones was really good at back in the 90s. He was the king of the 90s. That's what they refer to him as. But we don't refer to that as that. We don't refer to it as Chavez, you know, the Chavez sport or something like that. We refer to it as boxing because that's what it is. The NBA, I mean, is, you know, since it is a superstar-driven league, it's, I can honestly say that, yes, it is a little bit harder to stay loyal to your, you know, to a team. I can understand that. But you have to, it's something that's instinctual to each individual human being, whether you agree with it or not. Because some people right now are probably, you know, who are listening to this and they're like, ah, if you don't know what the hell you're talking about, that's not true. Understand this. Fandom, again, in all honesty, if you translated, you know, to his base, is love and appreciation for, you know, for the sport. You have to show that, you know, that level of respect to that, and most people do. But it is a team sport. The NBA basketball is a team sport. It's 5-on-5, you know, with a bench. Same thing with hockey. Same thing with football. Same thing with baseball. Same thing with, like, you know, with some other sports like soccer, if you're into that, because I mean, that's where you really see the diehard fans in there. I mean, if you ever seen a Manchester United game, it's madness. When something like that happens, or one of those, you know, those French league teams, or, you know, or the other football clubs, you know, Real Madrid or something like that. Those guys, they take that stuff so hard because it represents them as a culture. Today in the United States and North America, we kind of lost sight of that a little bit because you're just so driven by the superstar.
It depends how you look at it. Are you talking pro sports or collegiate sports? Because collegiate sports definitely have generational diehard fans. I mean, this is like if you're talking college basketball, college football, those the two biggest sports in collegiate sports. They have I'll give you an example. Give me University of Texas, prime example, or
A&M. A&M is crazy.
Yeah, A&M.
Notre Dame is another
Notre
prime
Dame.
Example.
There you go.
Ole Miss.
All of them. like all those type of college football teams in out west, the south. So for whatever reason, it's not big in the Northeast. I don't know why. I had never figured that out. If you have the answer, let me know. But the whole point is, like, I don't know, maybe not on the pro level. And I get you what you're saying, comparing to the Premier League teams, because that is nuts. Now, I for what I see on TV and on social media, that is nuts. But on the pro level, let's give credit where credit is due, man. Let's not discount the Toronto Raptors, man. I mean, I think they kind of earned their stripes as almost a rabid base. I mean, you watch those playoff games. They're the only team in the league I can think of as, like, during the playoffs, like, they're outside of the arena and it's jam-packed, like, on the courtyard area outside of the arena. Like, that's the only team I can think of in the NBA that does that. That I think it's so dope. Like, I would love, Av, if the Knicks were ever in that position, let's say playoffs, we could pack outside the Garden right there on 7th, 33rd, you know, right around the vicinity of the Garden, and just have big old Jumbotron screens like the Raptors do. Like, why can't we do that if we're in the playoffs? You know what I'm saying? Because
the NYPD is a motherfucker. That's why. And the Port Authority would probably have our heads. But I completely understand what you're saying. Like, yeah. I miss, because anytime I saw, like, the Toronto Raptors, or whenever you saw, you know, other teams, you know, with their sports. I mean, I think I remember that, you know, the Cleveland Indians had people outside, you know, right outside Progressive Field, formerly Jacobs Field, for sports knowledge for that, for their folks.
Right.
They were packing out, you know, the parking lots during the game and tailgating on, you know, for sports that don't normally tailgate. You know, tailgating is usually reserved for football and sometimes for, you know, for, like, you know, for college football, college basketball sometimes, and you know, maybe a few soccer games. That's never been seen. So the fandom, you know, has increased, and you would wish that you can do that in New York, especially outside of Yankee Stadium, because there's the room to do it, but it doesn't happen, you know, everywhere.
But you know why that's the case? But you know why that's the case, though, with those particular sports? Because of the number of games. When in baseball, you have 162 games. Basketball, hockey, you have 82 games. The number of games is, like, you know, it's so many of them that they're not going to have that much of attention to one particular game like football. Like, football is once a week. You could plan your weekend around a college football or a pro game, like, you know, whether you go to the stadium, tailgate, whatever. But, you know, I thought about that too, Av, because of the situation we're going right now with the COVID-19. Who knows the future of the NBA, we'll use the NBA or the NHL, because they're kind of in the same boat because their seasons run parallel during the same seasons and they have the same number of games. But would like to ever see a situation if they have a shortened season? And it goes back to what I was saying about the Toronto Raptors. If you have a shortened season, you have condensed schedule, would you want to do it where you may have to see a team once a week? And if they do it, would you want to see tailgates and grills out for a Knick game? I definitely would. What about you?
I would purposely make it a point to be in Manhattan between 42nd Street and 35th Street just so that I can see the atmosphere, because, you know, fandom – again, means love, and just to see the love and the adulation and the fun that people are having, you know, outside of the arena. So then that gives you more and more of a reason to really want to get inside and fill out that arena. I do remember that the Rangers did have something a couple of years ago, especially when we were going to the Stanley Cup. I don't remember where it was, but they did have, like, you know, like a big lawn area where, you know, people were watching on the big screen, and every time they scored, they would just kind of, like, you know, you'd watch it on Facebook and, you know, people are going nuts. That kind of fandom, you can't buy that kind of fandom, okay? And that's something that can, you know, move people and can really, you know, bring joy to people. And that's the kind of stuff that you want. You don't want to, I mean, I'm sorry, but you can't do that if you're just a fan of a player in a team sport. I'm sorry. It just can't be done. I don't think that you're going to see a bunch of LeBron fans outside of Staples Center one day, South Figueroa Ave, all wearing LeBron jerseys and cheering for LeBron. No, they're going to be cheering for the Lakers. You're going to see the Kobe jerseys. You're going to see the old Magic. You're going to see the Magic Johnson ones, and you're going to see some of these who are real fans, not fans of him, but fans of the team.
But think about it like this, though. You brought up a great point about LeBron on that, man, because you had two worlds colliding. You had the individual LeBron, we call them LeBron sexuals, the LeBron fans, going to L.A. because, once he left Cleveland to go to L.A. And then you had the Lakers fan, all Lakers, purple and gold. That you have that type of fan versus the LeBron fan who's now taking off his Cleveland Cavalier jersey and putting on his L.A. Lakers jersey. You literally have fans clashing in that particular year because they were anti-LeBron because they were Kobe guys or Laker guys. You know what I'm saying? You know how interesting that dynamic within your own fan base. I would even call it fan base because I guess you could call it fan base because you're bandwagoning onto the Lakers through LeBron versus the fan who's probably been a Laker fan forever. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 30 years, 40 years, like how we are a Knicks fan. So you do run into interesting dynamics like that. Now, let me ask you this. Just recently, we never brought it up, but this kind of applies. Think about it like this. Were you ever a Patriots fan or were you a Tom Brady fan? Tom Brady's now on the team. Are you still with the Patriots?
The Patriots. I hate the freaking Patriots. But that makes all the sense in the world. Because now the New England Patriots with, the dynasties that they have built, the history the recognition of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, that's gone. And for those, who are Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans or whatever the case may be, and you're all buying the Tom Brady jerseys, that's the good thing of free agency, that you have the possibility of getting a superstar to bring more attention and more eyeballs and bring more fans. That's always a great thing. And of course, a lot of people, who are diehard New England Patriot fans are going to follow Tom Brady, to wherever he goes.
They were never diehards to begin with. If they were diehard Patriots,
they're not. But you see, that was going to be my point. They're going to do it. It's happening right now. It's like people are buying the Tom Brady jerseys, down there in Tampa. And the thing is that it's basically you run the risk of being labeled the bandwagon fan. You're only going with and that's why we're the team sport, individual following. You're gonna clash with those like diehard Bucks fans, or maybe you won't, but you're gonna clash with some of them, and because hey, who invited you to the party? We've been here, right now you're holding this because that's how some fans look at it. You're holding a seat for somebody who really deserves to be here. And you just showed up to the party just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
that's kind of because again, fandom is like a cult like following. So when you look at it, a new player, who has the resume of Tom Brady and has been has been recognized his whole NFL career as a New England Patriot. Now he's in a new team, and you're following him down there. Of course that labels you as never being a New England Patriots fan. You're just a Tom Brady fan. But now you're going to clash with these rabid Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans who have been there forever. Who has been through all, from the one Super Bowl to this, and now they're going through, this new change, and, you kind of have to like earn your place in the way, because fandom again is like a cult. You have to earn your keep, and not everybody's built for that. That's where I'm going to go with that.
All right. Let me ask you this before we go, because we're going to wrap up, and we could definitely attack it a whole nother topic with fan level stuff next week. But how much of a dent is the Patriots Nation going to take because Brady's now on a different team? I have to say this with a caveat, and I gotta be real. I believe that Boston fan, there's a lot of diehard Boston. Fans, diehard Philadelphia fans like New York, you know. So, how much of a dent do, or whether they're from Boston or not from Boston, because you know there's a lot of Patriot fans who just latched onto the Patriots because they were winning. What about how much is the entire base is losing because of Brady? Like, do you have a guesstimate how much of a dent? If Brady was to play the Patriots, are they rooting for Brady or are they rooting for the Patriots?
Well, they're going to be rooting for the Patriots still, and. I think you won't really have a fair gauge on that until they go through the season and you start seeing what they do without him now. And I think that you're looking down south and you're looking at what he's doing on the field as well. So, but personally, I don't think that the real Patriots fans are going to, or like that fandom or that nation is really going to have anything, because like you said, Boston is a rabid sports city.
It is.
I hate them with a passion.
We got to talk about, we got to talk about one day,
but they are a rabid sports city, and you know, they are ride or die with their Red Sox. They're ride or die with their Celtics. They're ride or die with their Bruins. And I firmly believe that they will still be ride or die for their Patriots. But, you know, 2-3 years from now, when you start accumulating losing seasons or poor performances, and you start to notice the big difference, you know, from having Brady to not having Brady, that's when you really get to understand how important he was to that fan base. And then you really get to understand who are the real fans, who are the ones that are really, you know, shown that red, white, and blue Patriot love. That's
right.
But it's Boston. So I don't think that it's going to take much of a hit, at least not in the interim.
True that. Final thoughts, Av, and your message to society of what we're going through as a pandemic. But your final thoughts, man. This has been fun. We might have to tackle Boston fans at one point, or maybe break down the fan bases, man. How much we like, respect them, such and such. But you know, final thoughts from you.
Fuck
Av.
Them. Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck the real LA fans. Fuck Houston for fucking. they took a title from my Knicks and from the Liberty, so fuck them and fuck them to hell. I really don't care. Anyways, final thought.
I don't think they have the WNBA team no more. I don't think they had the WNBA team down there no more, do they?
They had the Comets. I think they're still there.
I think they're gone. Are they there? Okay, I don't know.
I'll have to Wikipedia that later, but anyways, that's how much I've been following them. I just stopped following after a while. Ever since the Teresa Witherspoon days, I kind of like lost track of what the Liberty has been doing. But anyways, everything that I've said here is my own personal thought. If you don't agree with it, it's fine. You can find me on Knickerbocker Ave on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The reality is that I'm from the old school. You're not going to change my mind. but I welcome the debate. If you're a real fan, show it, prove it. Don't be a social media fan like we've labeled it, a bandwagon or a fair weather fan. Stay true to who you are and what kind of fan you are, whatever that is. If you are a player fan, by all means, continue it, because it only just brings more passion and more love, you know, more true people to the sport. Just know that I'm gonna judge you every single which of the way. Folks, stay safe. If you didn't avoid it, please, for the love of God, keep your ass at home. Don't go outside. There's nothing out here. I mean, yes, the weather is nice. Yes, the kids are off of school. Yes, you know, sometimes you may need, you know, something to run an errand or so. But please do everything you can. Take caution necessary to protect yourself. This shit is real. And it's real out here in these streets. There are a lot of people who don't take this seriously. And if you are one of them, I'm sorry, but you're taking lives just by your, you know, just by your acting, you know, foolishly. Stay safe, folks. Stay home. Enjoy the time with your family. Since, you know, now that we have it, because once this is over, we're back to work and we're going to be on overdrive. Knickerbocker Ave signing out. Sangreasu all day, every day. Knickerbocker Ave signing out.
Man, I couldn't even say it any better, man. Follow that message, man. Follow that message. I echo. I second that, man. Stay your distance. The faster you get through this, we all do our part, the faster we'll be back to society. This is one of those fun episodes, man. We had, you know, it's good for the archives. Later down the line, man, we gotta readjust the topic next week. Let's do that, man. Let's talk some more fan level stuff.
Absolutely.
And in the absence of our teams not playing, or players that we're not following, but you know, we have our different generational of fanships and how we root for our teams. And this is what we do here on the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue, and myself, Steve, man. Av, we'll be back next week, man. Let's have another topic, fan level stuff, man. It's been fun, man. Be safe out there,
let's
everybody.
Let's do it.
Sangreasu. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.